So if you've got your Bibles open on Psalm 63, then please keep them there so that you can check that what I'm saying is what Psalm 63 is saying. I think that's really important. Okay, excellent. So if you have a problem, if no one else can help, then you need the A-team. Okay, when I was a child, this was the crack commando unit I watched on TV every week, okay? They could sort out any problem. Any trouble you were in, they would sort it out, and by the end of the episode, the bad guys were got rid of and the good guys were safe, no matter how desperate. And whether you're a kid now or slightly older than me and slightly younger than you, we've all got troubleshooting heroes we love. For me, A-team are at the top, but it might be Power Rangers, though I think there's no comparison. It might be Wonder Woman, the Octonauts, particularly if you're in trouble at sea, Ben 10, the $6 million man, whoever it is, we've all got childhood heroes that can rescue us from trouble. And this psalm, Psalm 63, is for people who are in trouble, people in need, people even in desperate need. As Chris was saying, Psalm 63 is a psalm of David. And it's David who is king. And he is crying out in this psalm. And we know from, as Chris said, that David was in the desert of Judah. And you can read about the actual events in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 17. But it's a situation of desperate need and trouble. So I'm going to give you the highlights of the situation that David is in, or indeed the lowlights. So David's son Absalom has made himself king in David's place. Absalom, he wants David dead and out of the way. Absalom is quite popular with some of the people. David's run away with his court, his close friends, away from his home, his town, and they're in fear of their lives. And the escape route, so as they're escaping, to make it even worse, is this guy called Shimei, and he's traveling alongside of them. He's chucking rocks at David, he's hurling insults at David, he's saying David's a scoundrel, saying, this is all your fault, God's going to give the kingdom to Absalom, and yeah, you're a loser, David. And even worse, all this takes place in a hot, dry desert. It could not be worse. Okay, it's a desperate, desperate situation. It's not a momentary trouble. It's not a bad day at the office kind of trouble. This is life-threatening. This is at your wit's end, completely miserable, and in a desert kind of situation. So if we're going to understand Psalm 63 properly, I think we need to understand it as David's response to the desperate need he is in. And I want this psalm to be our response too. So if you've ever been unable to get to sleep because you're sick with worry, if you've ever felt completely alone, if you've had a relationship fall apart, if you've been at your wit's end knowing what to do, or any other situation like that, this psalm can be your psalm. And it can be your psalm going through a time of trouble now or in the future. It's a psalm for people who need help. And so this morning I want us to understand what God is saying to us and how we should respond when we're in need. And we're going to do that by building up a sentence step by step. So it starts when you are in need. And the first bit of it is, when you are in need, long for God. Yearn for God. So we've seen David's situation is pretty hopeless. Let's look at verse 1. In verse 1, David is turning to God. And we can see he longs for God. Every fibre of his being is longing for God. He earnestly seeks God out. He knows he needs God in this desperate time of need. How much does David say he needs God? Like someone who's in the middle of a hot, dry desert. The sun beating down on them, who's thirsty. Desperate for even just a drop of water to relieve that sense of thirst. But there's no water around in a desert. In that situation, when you're thirsty, the only thing you want is water. It takes over everything. It's all-consuming. And that's how David felt. But about God. That's how David needed and longed for God. And of course, David was in a desert, and he did need water, and he did long for water, but he longed for God. He was looking for God to help him and relieve him in his trouble. His mind, his heart, and his soul were bent upon God because there's no one else who could aid him or give him relief. And so I say for us, when you are in need, long for God. In need, in trouble, set your heart on God. Look to him. Direct your minds to him. Long for him and seek him out. Nothing else, or should I say no one else, will do. You know, as Chris was saying, in the middle of a desert, you long for water. You don't long for a comfy chair. It's useless. You might sit down and have a rest, but it's not going to relieve that thirst. In the midst of trouble, God is the relief we need. Anything else is just a mirage, and it won't satisfy us or help us or keep us going. And this is something we need to keep doing and persist in. Troubles and worries can go on, sometimes for a long time, sometimes for a lifetime. So throughout our need, throughout our trouble, as long as it lasts, we need to keep doing this. We keep longing for God, a longing that will cry out to God and will speak to him in prayer or song. And I think this is really important. It's a longing that's personal. It's deeply personal. It's not just kind of saying a truth and knowing something to be true. So what do I mean by that? So a few years ago, I was a few weeks away from having no job. I'd had loads of job interviews. I hadn't got a job. And I was 3 weeks away from my job finishing and not having a job to go to. And I would say, and I remember saying, God is in control. And that's okay, that is true. But that's not longing for God. It's actually when I got to the point that I said, I need you, Lord. Help me, I don't know what to do. It's when you're saying that's when you're longing for God. That's when you're yearning for God. That's when you're seeking him out. And actually only then you're trusting God as being in control of those events at that time with your whole being. That's what longing for God is. But that longing for God, it's not an end in itself. It doesn't stop there. It should lead us on to the next step. So when you're in need, long for God and remember who he is. When you're in need, long for God and remember who he is. Longing for God should always lead us to remembering God, which then leads us to praise God. In this psalm, there's two chunks of remembering God followed by praising God. So verses 2-4 is one chunk, and verses 6-7 is another chunk. I'll just read out verses 2-4 as an example. So David remembers God. He says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. And then that then turns to praise. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. So in both these bits, in verses 2-4 and verses 6-7, David is reminding himself, he's telling himself what he knows to be true about God. And we don't have time to look in these verses in detail from David's perspective, but he reminds himself in summary of God's power and glory, verse 2. He reminds himself that God's love is better than life, verse 4. He reminds himself that God is his help and protector, verse 7. That's the shadow of the God's wings bit, which is a lovely thing to unpack, which I've not got time to, but happy to talk later about that. David is longing after God. And that results in him remembering God, who he is and what he is like. And we see, if we look at verse 6, the poetic imagery there. On my bed I remember you, I think of you through the watches of the night. This remembering of God isn't just a one-time thing, a momentary thing. It's something David persists in, he keeps on doing. Verse 6, it's a picture of someone lying in bed, thinking of God throughout the night. I think, well certainly me, and I think people I know, you tend to feel most overwhelmed by troubles. They most come to your mind, your worries, at night, I think. Either you can't get to sleep or you wake up. And David turns that completely on its head. Instead of letting his worries and troubles consume him, he's thinking after God instead. He's longing for him and reminding himself of who God is. And as he remembers, David can't but help be brought to praise God again. You know, we've seen it already, haven't we? My lips will glorify you, verse 3. I will praise you as long as I live, verse 4. I will lift up my hands, verse 4. Thoughts and knowledge of God should always lead to praise of God. So for us, when you're in need, long for God and remember who he is. Let's take a couple of the things that David remembered and try and apply them to ourselves. So, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. So we haven't seen God face to face. We haven't been inside a tent of meeting or a temple and beheld God's glory. We've probably not seen him supernaturally smite our foes. But we do know Jesus. And Jesus shows us what divine power and glory is. Jesus who stilled the storm. Jesus who walked on water. Jesus who made the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk. Jesus who has the power to forgive sin. Jesus who can raise the dead and who himself was resurrected to eternal life and is now ruling over all creation. That's Jesus' power and glory, and that's what we can remember. Or look at, because your love is better than life. Well, I would argue we know that to be truer, more even than David did. God's love was so great that Jesus died to rescue us. Jesus Christ loved us so much, it cost him his life. So we can't doubt that God's love is better than life, because it's only through Christ's sacrificial love shown on the cross that we can know God and have true life and eternal life through that love. So if you're in need, if you're overwhelmed, long for God and remember him. Use this psalm as a starting point. Let it take you on to remembering Jesus, thinking on Jesus, getting carried away by him in your thoughts and ending up praising Jesus. Help each other to do that as well. So as we long for God and remember him in our times of need, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Now the trouble hasn't gone away. David's trouble hadn't gone away while he's in the desert of Judah. But Jesus, as we look to him and remember him, becomes so much bigger in our minds and should dwarf even the most dire, awful situation. Now, Jesus actually, he's always that big. Jesus doesn't get smaller or bigger, depending on how much we think about him. It's often we just don't often appreciate him and see him as he really is, and our troubles just enlarge and he seems smaller. So this is what David's doing. He's seeing God as he truly is. He's longing for him and remembering. And he doesn't stop there, though. What does David feel after this remembering and praising of God? And that takes on to our next step. When you are in need, long for God and remember who he is, knowing he will look after you. When you're in need, long for God and remember who he is, knowing he will look after you. So, to recap, David's in trouble, but he longs for God and remembers who God is, and that leads him to praise. But both the sections of praise in verses 2 to 4 and verses 6 to 7 result in David being able to say something. In verse 5, he says, I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. And in verse 8, he says, I cling to you, your right hand upholds me. And in many ways, verse 8 is a natural end result of verse 1. David's longing for God has eventually led him to a place where he knows God is keeping him safe. So let's just focus on verse 8 in particular. I cling to you, your right hand upholds me. Now a baby clings, doesn't it? A small child clings. And the thing about a person who clings is that the clinger, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to say a clinger, is always the most vulnerable, the weakest person. You cling to someone stronger than you to keep you safe. and provide you with protection. For David, that's God. He clings to God, and God won't let go. Now, God's not holding on to David by his fingertips. This isn't a Hollywood film where the hero is leaning over the precipice of a skyscraper, desperately trying to hold on to his mate, and his mate's slipping through his grasp, and he might fall, and we don't know what's going to happen. That's not what it's like with God. This is God's right hand. Now, it's his right hand because right hands are good, strong, and powerful in the culture of the day. Okay, and it's a hand that upholds David. And this hand is not going to let David go. God's hand has a secure hold on David, lifting him clear of his troubles, upholding him, giving David the sense that he will come through these troubles and be shown to be right. So, to put it simply, David feels protected by God. God is keeping him safe and looking after him. And again, the same is true for us. When you're in need, long for God and remember who he is, knowing he will look after you. God will look after you and me, just like he did David. If you're a Christian here today and your only hope is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation. God then has you in his right hand and he will uphold you. It's a promise. I was thinking about this and I can't put it better than these verses from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We may feel like we're just clinging on. The troubles may not go away, but be assured that God's grasp on you is firm. He won't let us go. We just need to keep going back to him. Again and again, longing for him, remember him, remembering him, praising him, knowing he has us in his hands. And again, this is something we can help each other in as well. Point each other to Psalm 63. But even if the troubles don't go away, the last few verses of the psalm give us real hope for the future. And that brings us to our final step. When you're in need, long for God and remember who he is, knowing he will look after you now and forever. When you're in need, long for God and remember who he is, knowing he will look after you now and forever. So in verses 9 to 11, I'll just read those out again. Those who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They'll be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. So David's using really powerful imagery there to say that his enemies are going to be destroyed and that the king, which is him, David, and all who follow God will rejoice, will glorify in God, will be restored essentially back to where they were, while the liars, those who are against God, like Absalom, will be silenced. And that actually happens. As we read on in 2 Samuel, we see eventually Absalom and the other rebels who oppose David are destroyed, and David gets his throne back. Now, if we're honest, at this point, it may be fair of us to say, well, that's okay for David, but what about the cancer that's incurable? What about the work situation that's just miserable with no end in sight? What about the depression that's just a thick fog around me, again, with no end in sight? Or whatever else, other trouble it might be that just is there. It's just a daily experience. Well, the promise is that your troubles will end. It may not be in this life, but as Christians, we have hope of a full-bodied, forever life with our God and our Christian brothers and sisters. To put it another way, When Jesus was crucified and killed, the sign above him mockingly read, "The King of the Jews." But death could not hold on to that king. And Jesus returned to life in victory and to rejoice in God. Just like in verse 11, "But the king will rejoice in God. So that verse was true for Jesus, our resurrected king. And so is equally true for us who trust in Jesus. Even if such trouble comes that ends in death, you're still going to be upheld by God, even beyond death. His love is better than life because his love keeps you safe through death and brings us into new eternal life. So, when you're in need, long for God and remember who he is, knowing he will look after you now and forever. Psalm 63 is here to help us in difficult times. We can speak it out, we can pray it, we can praise it through, we can do what it says and help each other to do what it says. And then know and feel the security it promises us, even in the most desperate of times. So if you have a problem and no one else can help, don't call the 18. Seek after and long after God instead. His love is indeed better than life. And I'll hand back to Elaine.